Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus being the answer. And not really a Father's Day message, but this is where I feel the Lord has directed me, so this is where we're going to go. And again, we are happy for our fathers. We are blessed by our fathers. I have been blessed throughout my life to have a dad that's been at home. And I've been blessed to have a father-in-law that is still here with us here today. And as I start talking about fathers, spiritual fathers, I always think of my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father is so awesome, and I love to talk about my Heavenly Father, my God. And I trust that you do too. And we also realize that sometimes it's a tough day for some people because dads weren't around. And unfortunately, that's part of our society as well today, that many have grown up without dads. And we just want you to know that still on this day, you have a Heavenly Father. And He loves you very, very much. And so as you celebrate this day, you can also celebrate our Heavenly Father. John 15, 1-5. Just want to talk to you today about Jesus. One of my favorite subjects. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is a gardener. John 15, verse 1. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in Me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in Me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in Me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Jesus, I thank You that You are so very, very real. I thank You that, Lord, that You are revealing Yourself to people more and more and more. And Jesus, we welcome You to reveal Yourself even in this church and in the people that come into this place. And even in our community, Lord, we want to welcome You, Jesus, to touch our lives, to encounter us, to minister to us, to speak to us. Because Jesus, You are the answer. And You are all that I need. So Jesus, we just welcome You into this room. We've already done that through our worship, through our prayers, through our singing. But we just want to say it again, Lord, You're welcome. You're welcome into my circumstances. You're welcome into our situations. You're welcome into our difficulties. You're welcome into our problems. You're welcome into all of our questions that we would have. Jesus, we just want to welcome You afresh into our lives, into our hearts, and into our everything. Thank You, Jesus, that You do desire to help us, that You do desire to bless us, that You desire to speak to us, that You desire to see us through. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now, as I share this morning about Jesus being the answer, He's all of those things. And He desires to do all of those things in our own hearts and in our own lives here today. He does desire to minister to us. He does desire to speak to us. He does desire to speak in those situations that we're finding ourselves in, or situations where maybe we don't know what to do or how to respond, what to say. He does. And He has some things that He'd like to speak in our lives today. And I pray that throughout this day, that indeed He will do that. As I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I kind of was reading a book on the subject as well, I was just reminded again of how important Jesus is to us. And I found in my life that when I don't know what to do or what to say or how to respond, that the answer is as simple as looking to Jesus. And I'm finding that more and more that God is indeed, that Jesus is indeed speaking to people. I find that, you know, in our society, as the moral breakdown of our society is happening, and it seems that, you know, people get more and more trapped in areas of life that can be very devastating to them, and many lives that have been destroyed. And you begin to talk to those people and you wonder, what can I say? What words can I express that could help them? Because you realize that they've gone down a path that maybe you've never gone down, or they've experienced something that you haven't even heard of or even thought of. And I found something during those times when, even as a pastor, I've been wondering, what do I say? How do I help these people? Sometimes my prayer at the front of this church when I'm praying with people is, Lord, help me to say something because I don't know what to say. And I often will hear the little voice of the Holy Spirit that will say, just introduce them to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of it. And I found that to be true over and over and over again, that as I introduce people to Jesus, Jesus takes care of the situation. Jesus takes care of the problem. Jesus begins to speak into that life and into that situation. And I've been so blessed to see that so many times. I've seen it in my own life, not just in the lives of others, where just simply calling on Jesus, not really knowing how to pray or what to say, and just say, Jesus. Sometimes I can say it over and over and over and over again, just one name, Jesus. And I find that he can come and he can minister and speak into my life in the very area that I need to be spoken to. Now I realize, you know, we could say, oh, you know, that's just cliche stuff, you know, that's just kind of passing the buck there, or you know, that you're it's just kind of a cop-out that, oh, just talk to Jesus. But it's not, my friend. Once you've experienced Jesus and Jesus speaking to you, you'll realize that isn't no cop-out, because he can speak and he can minister to us like nobody else. The best advice that you can give to anybody is to direct them to Jesus. You know, sometimes we think it's our wisdom, it's our knowledge that this is going to really help this person. When the best thing you really can do is just direct them to Jesus. John 15:5 says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, and so often we're all guilty of relying on our talents and our giftings and our abilities that we get ourselves even in bigger messes because we're not simply putting our faith and our trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, you really can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And you know, we try so many times in our own strength to overcome things and to face the battles that we're facing. And Jesus is trying to say, look, apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot do it on your own. You will not be successful on your own. You need Jesus. Because he is our source, our strength, our hope, our peace, our counselor, our healer, our deliverer, our Savior. He is all that we need. Jesus Christ really is the answer. He's the answer to all of our questions. He's the answer to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. He's the answer to those situations that maybe we're struggling with, or those battles that we're facing, or those addictions that we're struggling with. He is still the answer. And when we make him our Lord, when we submit ourselves to him, when we invite him into our lives and into our situations, you know, when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, friends, don't be scared of that word to say, Lord, I want to invite you again into my situation. Invite him into your circumstances that you're facing, because he likes to be invited. He doesn't like pushing his way through. He likes to be invited. And as he's invited, he brings many blessings into our lives. As you read this whole chapter, or at least the first 17 verses, it talks about Jesus being the true vine. that as we stay connected to the vine, we have everything that we need. It also tells us that if we choose not to be connected to the vine, that that's when tragedies can happen. That's when we can be cut off from Him. That's when we can feel all alone when we don't stay connected to Him. So He's telling us you need to remain in Him. And as you remain in Him, as you remain attached to the vine, Christ Jesus, there's a lot of blessings that start getting released and poured out into your life. And that's kind of where I'd like to take this passage of Scripture and look at it in that sense of looking at some of the positive things that can happen as in our lives as we choose to remain in Him. The first thing that I see that as I look at that is I choose to remain in Christ. As I choose to stay connected to that vine, Christ Jesus, the Bible says, if I would do so, He will remain in you. John 15:4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And really, that is a simple message. If you really want to experience Christ, if you really want to experience the fullness of Christ, remain in Him. Don't take these little journeys away from Him. Don't take those little side roads that go in different directions. Remain in Him, and He'll always remain in you. Now, we realize if we look to the Bible that the Bible says that the Lord Jesus says, I will be with you always, and He is. And sometimes, you know, we like to go by our feelings and we say, well, I don't really feel Jesus right now in my life. Well, the reality is He is still with us. So when it's talking here about remaining in Him, it's talking about that assurance that we know that the Lord is with us, even when we go through times where maybe you don't feel it in the natural, but you know it. You know that you know that you know that He is with you all the time. And friends, there's an atmosphere that you can walk in a daily basis. As you remain in Him, you're going to have that assurance that He's remaining in you. You just begin to walk in that assurance. You know it every day. And you're not sidetracked. You're not really tempted to go other directions because you're walking with Him every day. And Jesus Christ, He is the vine that we need to stay attached to. The Bible talks about Him that He is the true vine. He's the real. He is the genuine. You need Him. You need the real thing. People say, I want the real stuff. Well, Jesus Christ is real. And as you remain in Him, He will remain in you. And you will walk with assurance at all times that the Lord walks with you. Secondly, as you focus on Christ as your answer, as you stay connected to the vine, as you remain in Him, the Bible says you will produce much fruit. John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. The secret to producing much fruit isn't really a secret at all. It just simply remain in Him. If you remain in Him, it becomes natural for you to start producing fruit. So really, Christianity is really quite simple. You remain in Him, and the fruit just starts to grow. Just stay close to Him, and the fruit will grow. You don't have to worry about producing it. It'll just produce it by itself because you're remaining tied in to the source. In fact, this passage, it refers to over 10 times of that key of producing fruit is simply to remain in Him. You know, sometimes we can give some great talks about how we can produce fruit and how we can do this and how we can do that. And the Lord's just saying, look, you really want the secret, just remain in me. You stay close to me, stay connected to me, and the fruit will come. You won't have to worry about producing it. It will just flow out of you because you're connected to the source, and the source is flowing through you and being expressed. So we need to be hungry. We need to be thirsty. We need to be desperate for more of Jesus. More of Jesus should be our desire. And as we have that desire, that is the answer in helping us to produce more fruit in our lives. Third blessing of staying focused on Christ is that your prayers will be answered. Not just heard. We know that God hears our prayers, but they will be answered. Staying with Christ definitely has its benefits. If you want to continue to work on that relationship, one of those direct results of working on your relationship with Christ is that the prayers get answered. What? The prayers of a righteous man avails what? Much. If you will stay connected to the vine, those prayers will be answered. John 15:7. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want. It's going to be granted. If you want to move into a new level where your prayers are answered, just get close to Jesus. That's not really all that hard or difficult. Just remain in him. Just stay close to him. And those prayers will get answered. You will see the power. You will see the miraculous begin to happen around you just simply because you're staying connected to him. That flow is going in you and through you, and you're seeing those prayers get answered. You're seeing the miraculous happen around you. So the answer in having your prayers met, stay close to Christ. Stay close to Christ. And then you'll learn what he really wants. And then you'll start asking for those things that you know God really is wanting to happen in your life and in the lives of others. Just stay close to him. Then fourth, as you keep Christ as your focus, as you stay connected to him, as you remain in that vine, you will be true disciples. There's a lot of pretenders out there. The Bible warns us of that. And even in the last days, it says there'll even be more pretenders out there that will pretend to be my disciples. And it's interesting that over and over again in Scripture, it really tells us how we can identify true disciples. And it's by the fruit. And we come up with all these other ideas that, no, this is how you can determine whether this one is a true disciple or not. One of those things is the miraculous. Sometimes we look at people and they're doing miraculous things, and that is a gift from God. But sometimes those same individuals ends up that they've been crooked, they've been shysters. The true fruit is not miracles. The true fruit is love, joy, and peace, and patience, long-suffering. See, that's the kind of fruit that the Lord is saying, if you want to really see, is there a true disciple of Christ, that's where you're going to see it. You're going to see them in that area. And he points that out to us. John 15:8. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. True disciples are known by their fruit. And we know what the fruit of that. There's the fruits of righteousness, and there's the fruits of the Spirit. That's the kind of fruit that God is looking for in our lives to determine whether or not we are true disciples or not. See, a true disciple will stay connected to the source, and of course, as he stays connected, true fruit will also be expressed through his lives. And that's what brings glory to God. It's those things. Sometimes we're always looking for the big stuff. And God is looking for those things simply like love and joy and peace and kindness. Those areas of our lives. Our mercies that we give, that really give glory to him, to say, yes, that's the kind of fruit that I'm desiring. And I realize sometimes as a Christian, it's not always easy being a Christian, but the key for us to stay in that area is to stay connected to him. And as we stay connected to him, we'll be true disciples. You can't help but be a true disciple if you keep sticking around with your Father, right? Your Heavenly Father. Let it just allow that to flow in your lives. Number five, a blessing you're going to receive as you stay connected to the vine, as you remain in him, you'll experience the love of God. John 15:9-10. I have loved you even as a father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. See, as you remain in Christ, as you remain in that relationship with him, you're also remaining in his love. See, God loves to give good things unto us. See, God has a whole bunch of love that he wants to pour out upon his people. And I think that we sometimes get ourselves in places where we're missing out on the love of God because we're not staying close to him. We're kind of taking these little trails away from him. Stay close to him and you remain in that atmosphere of love. And if we really love the Lord and we're experiencing his love, you know, again, it becomes a natural expression of our love is to obey God. You see, obedience shouldn't be a bunch of do's and don'ts for us. We should be doing those things because I love him. You know, sometimes, you know, we kind of worry. People say, you know what, I gave up this when I was a Christian, and, you know, it wasn't a sin after all, and we get all upset about that. I'm thinking, like, what are you getting upset about? Who cares? Like, if God wanted me to give something up, I did it because I love him, not because it was some do or don't for me. If that's how you're basing your relationship with God, you're not really going to get that far. Do it because you love him. Whether it's, oh, it was sinful, yes, we should get away from sin. But there may be some things the Lord would speak to you that are not sinful. If he says get rid of it, get rid of it. Do we not do the same thing with our spouses that we live with? That if there's something they don't like in our lives, do we not try not to do those things? Why? Because we love them. Not because it's a do or a don't. And God wants that. And that's what happens when you get close to him. It's just a love relationship. You love him and he loves you. It's mutual. It's not just a one-way street with God. He loves you and you love him. And he has lots of love to pour out. So remain with Jesus. Remain in him. Remain in that atmosphere of love, and you will experience the love of God in the most wonderful ways. It's available to us all. And as we experience that love, he says, go on out and start loving others. Don't keep it for yourselves, but start going out and just start loving others. It's not about whether they deserve it or not. It's about love. You just do it because you love them. It's just like Jesus works with you. It's not because you deserve it. He just loves you. And that's what he wants in your life as well. As you remain in him, you're going to remain in that love. Number six, in remaining in Christ, you'll experience the blessing of being filled with joy. John 15:11. I have told you these things that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. You know, there's a lot of Christians that they lose their joy. God never meant for you to lose your joy. You need to remain in him. You remain in him, you remain in the joy. You start walking away from him, then you'll walk out of the joy. If you want the joy back, get back into the vine. Get back into serving him. Get back into loving him. Because he is the answer. You remain in him, you remain in that atmosphere of joy. There's a covering of joy over your life as you remain in him. And friends, I just want to encourage you that if you're finding that joy is not what it used to be like the psalmist David, restore that joy, Lord. I want to get back to that. I want to get close to him again. Stay close to him because that's the atmosphere. You got to stay close. That's our problem as Christians. We don't always stay close. We kind of say that we do, but we kind of trickle off over here and we kind of do our little old thing over here and do our own little thing and then we're back to you, Jesus. No, you need to just stay with Jesus. You walk with him. You talk with him. You begin to love him more and more and more. You want to be with him. Why wouldn't you want to be with the Savior of the world? He gives you that opportunity. What a blessing it is. What a joy it is. And you can walk in an atmosphere of joy as you remain in him. And then lastly this morning, as you remain in him, you'll become a friend of God. What a blessing that is. From being a slave to be moving into a position of privilege. A relationship that gives you a status that you are a friend with God. That's quite a boast that we can say that. I am a friend of God. If I've opened up my heart to Jesus and I've welcomed Jesus Christ in my life and I've professed him as my Lord, as my Savior, the Bible says, I am now a friend of God. That's a pretty good status. You are a friend of God. John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. As we come to Christ, we move again from that position of slavery to sin to being a friend of God. And the Bible says it even takes us further than that. You become a child of God. So somebody with no influence to a person with influence. A person that will hear the heart of God, where the Lord will speak things into your life. There's also a position where we become a friend that we begin to serve him and we obey his commands. Not because, again, oh, it's a do or a don't. No, it's not that. We do so because I'm a friend. I'm your friend, so there's things I just want to do to please you because you're my friend. You know, friends do good things for friends. So, you know, again, don't base your life on a do's and don'ts. It's friendship. I am a friend of God. I want to walk with God. I'll give up things gladly because it's my friend. He's my best friend. I'll gladly give those things up for him. So our relationship needs to be motivated by love, wanting to please him, wanting to be a true friend, because friends support friends. So if you remain in Christ, as you keep that him as your focus today, you will find that he will be the best friend that you will ever have. Yeah, you know, I can think of that old hymn, probably all of us would know that, but what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs, all of our burdens, we can bring all those things to him. Why? Because he's a friend. We can trust him. He's a person we can talk to. He's real, and he wants to touch us. He wants to speak into our lives today. So the answer keeps coming back. Yes, it is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. See, Jesus Christ really is all that we need. Not just about salvation, but about everything in life, about every situation that we go through in our lives, he's still the answer. And he tells us the secret to experience all those blessings is to simply remain in me. Stay close to me. Stay connected to the vine. Remain in him. You'll produce that fruit. You'll have those prayers that get answered. You will find that you'll be that disciple he wants you to be, that you'll have the love of God all over you. You'll be filled with joy. You'll be a friend with God like never before. Now we could look at this passage on the negative side, and we could be looking at those parts that, well, if I'm not a friend of God, if I cut myself off from him, well, then the Bible says there's judgment. The Bible says that bad things, terrible things, separation from God, falling away from God will happen if I don't stay connected. But friends, you don't have to be worried about that. You don't need to be worried about those things if you remain in him. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, when will the Lord return? We have all kinds of different theologies out there of when Jesus may return. Personally, for myself, I would believe in a pre-trib situation. I believe the Lord will come before the tribulation period. But what if he doesn't? It doesn't matter to me, because the Bible says, live each day as if the Lord's coming is today. If I remain in him, I don't need to worry how it's all going to work out, because whoever it happens, I'm going to be with him. Remain in me. That's the secret. That's the secret. See, the Bible says, Hebrews 12:2, it says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The King James Version says, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You need to keep your focus on Jesus. And this morning, I just really believe that the Lord is speaking to us to just say, focus on me. Focus on Jesus. Because he's the answer. And maybe you're here today and you're going through a difficulty and you're going through a problem and you're seeking advice from a bunch of people, and that's good to do. That's okay. But I want to encourage you today that the Lord would like to speak to your situation. The Lord would like to speak to your problem. And he's just waiting for an invitation to speak in your situation or your circumstance. A simple little prayer can be, I invite you, Jesus, today to speak into this problem that I'm going through. Lord, I'm having difficulty with some finances. Our finances are a mess. And Jesus, I want to welcome you into my finances. Maybe you're here today and you lost your job and you need a job. Jesus, I want to invite you into this area of a job because, Lord, I need a job and I want to invite you into this situation and this circumstance. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Well, you need to invite Jesus into your marriage. Say, Jesus, I want to welcome you into my marriage today because it's not really going all that well and we're going through some difficulties and problems and, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Invite Jesus into the situation. Whatever that problem might be, whatever that difficulty may be, I really believe that that's what the Lord wants to do. Invite Jesus into the situation because Jesus is the answer. John 15:5, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You do nothing. Maybe you've been trying really, really hard to get out of some messes that you got yourself into. And that's good to do. We need to do our parts. But sometimes that's where we stay, doing what we can do. Friends, there are some things that you can work as hard as you want to work. It's not going to change. You need Jesus Christ to come into that situation, that circumstance, and allow him to turn those things around. We need Jesus. We need to remain in him. And friends, he's also not just the answer to us. He's also the answer to everybody else as well. And when you're out there and you're trying to help somebody, you're trying to pray for somebody, or somebody shares something with you that maybe it shocks you, introduce them to Jesus. Introduce them to Jesus. I have been so blessed in these last few years of observing the Lord ministering to people. There have been people that I really didn't know what to pray for them. But I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to me in my ear and just simply said those words, just introduce them to me. Introduce them to Jesus, and I'll take care of it. And I've watched and observed with my own eyes and my own ears as the Lord began to speak to them, and they began to have a conversation. I wasn't hearing what Jesus was saying to them, but I was hearing what they were saying back. I thought that was pretty cool. But the Lord just took over the situation. Just began to minister to them. Just began to touch them. And I've watched that happen time and time again. The Lord is speaking to people. Jesus is wanting to speak to you. I think he just wants us to turn that situation over to him. Because he has something to say. And I'm so glad that he is interested in my life. I'm so glad that he's interested in your life today. That it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're from our community or not, whether you're from this church or not. The Lord is interested in you. The Lord is interested in your situation. The Lord is interested in your circumstance. The Lord is wanting to speak into your situation, into your circumstance. But he does wait to be invited. Invite him to do that. And as you invite him to do that, remain in him. Don't walk away from him. Don't get mad at him. Remain in him. Those things will work out. You might be wondering, I don't know if it can work out, God. And we get mad, and so we take off from God. You know, we say, I think I'll punish God. The only one you're punishing is yourself when you do that. Remain in me. Invite him back into the situation. He'll take care of it. He'll speak that situation. So as we close here this morning, I know numbers of you may have some things you want to do with your dads today. And awesome, fantastic. That's wonderful. But there's somebody that wants to speak into your life today. His name is Jesus. And he is the answer that you need and that you've been looking for, and maybe you haven't even been looking for Jesus. You haven't had him even on your mind or on your radar, but something today is quickened inside of you to realize he's what I've been needing all my life. He's that answer I've been needing all my life. It's so simple, I've missed it. And that's why we often do miss it, because it is so simple. Can it just simply be, if I give it to him, that he can intervene, that he can speak where no man can speak? Yes, he's God. He can speak where no man can speak. He can intervene even when it's totally in the natural, that nothing can be done. He can come in because he moves in the supernatural. He's the one we need to draw close. He's the one we need to remain in him. Remain in me, I'll remain in you. Welcome him into your life today. Welcome him into your situation and your circumstance, because he is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Not just to your salvation, but to everyday life, to everything that you go through in your lives. He's the answer. Welcome him into every part of your life. Welcome him into every situation in your life, because he desires to help you today. He desires to speak to you today. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you are revealing yourself to people all through our community and all around us, and even people here in our church. I thank you, Lord, that you're not a dead God, but you're a God who is alive and a God who speaks. And I thank you that, Lord, you are the answer. Thank you, Lord. You're the answer. Father, I ask that you would forgive us when we kind of do our own thing, or we go our own way. And we remove ourselves from you as the vine. But I thank you, Lord, also today that you're a God who restores. And Father, I just believe in my spirit today that you're restoring situations. You're restoring lives. You're bringing back people that maybe thought that I've been cut off, and so there's no way I can be grafted back in. Yes, you can. Just like in the natural, you can be grafted in. And so, Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our fears. We welcome you, Lord, into our problems. We welcome you, Jesus, into our difficulties. Lord, we welcome you into our questions. Lord Jesus, we welcome you to speak where no man can speak. I thank you, Lord Jesus, today that you desire to speak in this place. And you desire to speak in the hearts and lives of everybody here. I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking and that we are hearing better. But we want more, Jesus. We want more of you, and you desire more of us. So, Jesus, on this and this Father's Day, I pray as we leave this place that we'll be a people that will invite you into our circumstances, our situations, our problems, our difficulties, whatever they might be, choices, our future choices. What am I to do? What's my future? We invite you into those situations. And we invite you, Jesus, to speak. We invite you, Jesus, to have those conversations with each person, everybody, not just some people, everybody. That there would be conversations. Lord, I invite you to speak to people like you've been speaking to me of late. And Lord, some of those encounters that I've had of late that were just so wonderful and so beauty, Lord, I don't want to just have them by myself. I want to see everybody have those. And so, Lord, what I have, I want to see your people receive as well. And that you would speak to us in fresh ways, in liberating ways, in empowering ways, in refreshing ways. I welcome you, Jesus, into this church, into the people that are here today. That you would speak to us. That you would minister to us. that you would work out things that maybe we gave up on or thought, oh, it's just impossible. It can't happen. Turn it around, Lord. Turn it around. Turn it around. Restore, Lord. Restore, Lord. Restore. Restore what the locusts have taken. Lord, what the enemy has meant for evil, that, Lord, you'd turn around and make it into good. That you just turn it around so totally around, Lord. Even with jobs, that, Father, as you restore jobs, that, Lord, they will not only be restored, but, Lord, there would be a promotion with the restoring that would make up for the losses that we've lost. We welcome you, Jesus, to even to do the impossible. But you're God. You're God. Nothing is too hard for you. Lord, that is declared in your word. There's nothing too hard for me. And Lord, when Abram asked that question and wondered about that, you asked him a question about, is there? Are you sure about that? Oh, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Jesus is the answer. So as you leave this place here today, I'll come to the back here shortly just to greet you as you go out. And if you want prayer, some of our prayer team will be here, some of our other pastors that can pray for you. But I just want to encourage you today, bring it to Jesus. He's the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer. Yes, he is the answer. Do not be deceived or not say, things haven't been working out. He's still the answer. Remain. Remain in him. It's going to work out. You're going to come through this time. Just remain in him. He'll remain in you. He will see you through. Jesus is the answer. So, Lord, I just want to bless your people here today, Lord. I just bless them with ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Lord, that they have ears to hear what you want to speak into their very lives today, what you want to speak in their situation and their circumstance, even if they've never heard you before, that today would be the day we break off those areas where they've been bound and where they have not been able to hear, and that, Lord, today they will hear the Spirit of God speak in their life today, clearly, clearly, and they'll have an encounter with you, Jesus. We welcome you, Jesus, into this church. We welcome you, Jesus, into this body here. We welcome you, Jesus, into our situations, into our circumstances, and we invite you to intervene in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. We bless you this morning as maybe as the musicians come back and just close with a song. You're more than welcome to come to the front for prayer. If you have to go and you have things planned for this afternoon, be blessed. Have an awesome day and expect Jesus to speak into your life, because I'm expecting that today. I'm expecting to hear words come back that say, hey, Pastor, you know what? Last week you spoke about that. The Lord spoke into a situation this week. The Lord spoke to me. I've heard from heaven. I've heard from the Lord. He'll do that for you today.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow